Have you ever had someone tell you, you're not cutting it? I expect more from you. You can do a better job than you're doing. You are capable of better work. You aren't applying yourself. You're being lazy. You're not giving your best effort. Might have been a teacher, or a coach, an employer, a parent, a friend. It's funny the things that you remember and the things that stick in your mind. But I remember my math teacher telling me that when I was a freshman in high school. He said, Jeff, you're capable of much better work. You're not applying yourself. You're being lazy. You're working far below your potential. And even though I wasn't very happy with my teacher for saying that to me, I knew he was right. I was being lazy. I wasn't giving my best effort. I wasn't applying myself. I was doing just enough to get by. Maybe some of you guys can relate to that. Unfortunately, I didn't take my teacher's challenge up while I was in high school. I passed algebra as a freshman and then didn't take any more math classes. I thought math classes were too much work. I did the minimum required to graduate, and that was it. And back then, freshman algebra was all I had to take, and I could get out at the end of my senior year. See, wood shop and home ec and arts and crafts and journalism and PE, now these were the kind of classes that I enjoyed taking. They were a lot more fun and a lot less work. Well, after graduating from high school, I enrolled as an art major in college. Why? Two reasons. One, I liked art. But number two, you guessed it, I thought it would be easy. Well, then, about a year and a half into college, I decided I wanted to change my major to civil engineering. But I was faced with a big problem. Engineering required a lot of math. And I was poorly prepared for that since I had pursued the easy track in high school. I had a lot of catching up to do, but that was what I had decided to do, so there was no getting around it. I couldn't go over it, I couldn't go under it, I couldn't go around it, I had to go through it. As the old rhyme says. Well, I ended up taking trigonometry, advanced algebra, three semesters of calculus, differential equations, statistics, and a whole lot more additional math that came along with the engineering classes. I got through it all. See, my math teacher back in high school had been right all along about me. It was right for him to have expected more from me. I hadn't been applying myself. I was being lazy. I really was capable of better work. I really wasn't living up to my potential. Well, this is basically what the author of Hebrews tells his readers in the section we'll be looking at today. He's going to say, basically, you can do better than you've been doing. You're capable of better work. You're not applying yourself. You're functioning far below your potential. You're being lazy about your life in Christ. Some of you guys are going, oh, this sounds scary, Jeff. You sure we have to go through this one? Yeah, we got to go through this passage too. Today we're entering into the third great warning that the author gives in his letter of Hebrews. You might remember the first warning was in chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, and then the second big warning was given in chapter 3, verse 7, through chapter 4, verse 13. And now today begins his third big warning. We're in Hebrews chapter 5, beginning in verse 11. So if you've got your Bible, we can turn to chapter 5 of Hebrews, beginning in verse 11. He says, about this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Going back up to verse 11, he says, about this we have much to say. The writer has a lot of things that he wants to tell his readers about the thing that we talked about last week and just touched on, which is the priesthood of Jesus Christ, and in particular about the likeness of Jesus and Melchizedek. But, he says, it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. So beginning with this verse, the author digresses now from his main subject, and he won't return to it again until he gets to chapter 7 of Hebrews. At this point in the letter, he feels the need to address what he believes to be a serious problem with many of those that he's writing to. And the eternal nature of the Word of God is evident here, because not only was this a problem with many of the believers at the time the letter of Hebrews was written, it's also a problem with many believers in our own day, too. And even in this very church, on this very day, at this very moment. It says, it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. You've become dull of hearing. The Greek philosopher Plato used to call some of his students nothroi, the same word used here, which literally means lazy as to one's ears, which was an idiom of that time that basically meant you're slow to understand. Many of the believers that the letter of Hebrews is addressed to have become slow to learn. Now, this is a condition that these people have slid into. The author's not saying that these people have a learning disability or intellectually challenged in some way. There's nothing wrong with their ability to learn and understand. They have the potential. They have the capability. But they have become this way. Instead, they're sluggish and lazy in regards to spiritual things. They have failed to move past the most elementary teachings of their faith, he says, because they are not expending any effort to learn and grow in their knowledge of Christ. That's what he's saying. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 2 for a moment. The first verse there, Solomon writes, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." We have to apply ourselves and expend effort to get understanding and knowledge of the Lord. As it says here in Proverbs, we need to seek it like it's silver, like something of great value, and search for it as for hidden treasure. It takes effort. Sitting back and expecting it to just magically get dumped into our head and heart is not the way it works. We flip back to Hebrews chapter 5 again, and verse 12. He continues, he says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food." Many of these people have been followers of Jesus Christ long enough, he says, that they should be able to teach others by this time. But instead, they still need to be instructed in the basic principles, which is the same in our language and vernacular as saying in the basic ABCs of the faith. That's what that means. They still need to be instructed in the ABCs of the faith, of Christianity. They're not ready to go on to learn about the deeper things of Christ, such as the priestly work of Jesus, which the author wants to tell them about. But he has to stop for a minute and say, we need to talk about something here, you guys. It's as though they're caught in an endless loop, never moving past the most basic doctrines and truths of Christianity. By this time, they should be eating adult food, he says, but instead, they're still drinking milk from a bottle. An adult can still enjoy a tall glass of milk. There's nothing wrong with milk. It does a body good, right? There's nothing wrong with the elementary teachings about Jesus Christ. It's good to be reminded again and again of these precious truths. The thing that's wrong is that people who ought to be able to eat a nice, thick, juicy steak have never weaned themselves from their bottle. They're like full-grown men and women who are still behaving like babies, sleeping in a crib, drinking milk from a bottle, crying and throwing a fit whenever things don't go their way, and all the rest of it. We all know people like that. Not here. But we know people like that. Every believer is to first be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And then become a discipler of others. Here's an illustration. We're not supposed to be stagnant ponds, but rather living streams. A stagnant pond is a pond that becomes stagnant and dead when there's excessive accumulation, lots going in, but nothing coming out, no circulation, and it's dead. Now, stuff grows in that pond, but not the kind of stuff that you want to grow in that pond. A living stream, on the other hand, has a constant flow in and out, keeping everything fresh and replenished and full of life. We need to be like living streams, taking in and giving out to stay healthy and growing. Now, obviously, not everyone is called and gifted to teach the church at large. Not everyone has the gift of teaching. But almost all of us are able to teach on some level, sharing our life experience and faith in Jesus Christ with others, helping those younger in the faith than ourselves to know Christ better, to trust Him more fully with their lives. For those of you who are familiar with the 12-step program, this is similar to the idea of becoming a sponsor. For those of you who are familiar with the business world, this is similar to you becoming a mentor. Coming alongside others and helping them on their journey of faith in Christ is not something that's to be left to the professionals. It's the job of every Jesus follower to help every other Jesus follower follow Jesus and know Him better. I'll say that one more time, okay? Because that was pretty complicated. It's the job of every Jesus follower to help other Jesus followers follow Jesus and know Him better. It's not the job of the professionals to do that. It's all of our job to do that. Verse 13, he says, "For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice, who distinguish good from evil." The author is expanding on his meaning of milk versus solid food here. Solid food and being mature has to do with training ourselves to distinguish good from evil, he says. It has to do with righteousness, of being godly. It has to do with having the mind of Jesus Christ, of thinking like Jesus, looking at life through a Christ-centered perspective. Please don't think that maturity is what is often coined as maturity in the church. See, I want us to note that mature teaching and maturity in Christ is not chasing the latest Christian fad blowing through the church, or having emotionally moving spiritual experiences. That's not maturity. These are often called maturity by those who are into these things, but a study of the Scripture will quickly show that these things are actually popular among the immature rather than the mature. You can turn to the letter of 1 Corinthians as an example. The church in Corinth had lots of spiritual experiences taking place, but Paul considered it to be a very immature church. Beware of getting caught up in the fads and the hot new trends and the emotional buzz making its way through the churches. Not all that stuff is bad, but it's not all good either. And you need to use discernment and wisdom, which comes through genuine spiritual maturity, to see through the sparkle and the paint to what's truly good and of the Lord and genuinely soul-enriching. There's a whole lot of it that is the spiritual equivalent of junk food. It tastes good going down, but it provides very little lasting nutritional value for your soul. I mean, I would challenge some of you to even look at the books that you buy and read that are Christian. Some of those books are little more than junk food. But those are the books that are popular and everybody buys and everybody reads. When was the last time you tied into Tozer or Bonhoeffer or C.S. Lewis? Some of you go, I don't even heard of those guys. Exactly. That's my point. Instead of following after what is popular at the moment, I want to encourage you to find some of the old battle-worn saints who have spent years walking consistently with Jesus Christ, living a life of faith in Him, who have that beautiful, godly countenance that only comes through years of being with Jesus Christ. Find some of those people and start hanging out with those people, watching them, learning from them, imitating them. Now you're going to have to look for those people, because those people are not as easy to find, because they don't usually have a big, loud mouth drawing a lot of attention to themselves. They're humble by nature. Kind of like Jesus. It makes them easy to overlook and to take for granted, because they don't draw attention to themselves. Some of the people sitting near you right now are those kind of people. But you haven't seen them or noticed them much, because you're looking for the shiny things rather than the genuinely deep, godly things. It says here, solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Trained by constant practice. Spiritual maturity is not something that comes overnight through a sudden breakthrough. Doesn't happen that way. there's books about the breakthrough. Those books are sold a lot. But that's not where real spiritual maturity comes from. It comes from a long, steady, consistent, disciplined walk with the Lord. Living by His Word, day in and day out, through the good stuff and the bad stuff. Having learned to apply it in all of the different areas of one's life. Steadily growing in Christ-likeness and Christ-mindedness. Learning to trust Him through everything that life throws at us. People who have suffered deeply and long, wondering at times, wrestling in the darkness of soul. And they come out on the other end, still clinging to their Lord. It's not the people with mountaintop experiences. It's the people with scars. Those are the people who have become mature, deep, and they're significant in the kingdom of God. Not necessarily in the eyes of this world. But that's not what they're about either, is it? It says they're trained by constant practice. It's similar to almost anything you want to be really good at. It takes practice, discipline, continual focus, and dedication. I mean, a great athlete, for example, is not someone who is simply gifted with ability. They're gifted with great ability, but that talent is then developed and sharpened in order for the potential to be fully realized. And in a similar way with us as Christians, God has given each of us a great deal. And He continues to give us. But He also expects us to put in the effort to develop the gifts and the talents we have so our potential is realized. Right? Don't be a lazy boy Christian, sitting back in your easy chair, sipping your lemonade, watching the ball game. Get out of that chair and get into the game. It's heartbreaking to see so many followers of Christ living so beneath their potential and their calling. They've chosen to live their life like everyone else. And so there's no distinguishable difference between them and those who are not Christians. And no wonder that people outside the church look at those inside the church and see no obvious benefit to becoming a follower of Christ. Because they see no difference. Christian, they have an impact in this world. We don't need to be cool. We need to be genuinely godly, like Jesus. Not religious, not pretentious, but really Jesus-like in how we live our life. That's going to make an impact. That's going to matter. That's going to make a difference, both in your life and the lives of those around you. The church doesn't need to be cool. Church needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Paul's writing here to young Timothy. And he says to him in chapter 4, verse 7, says, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Paul says this. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. Paul says, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. See what maturity is supposed to look like? It's challenging for all of us. But it's good for us to have that high school math teacher give us a swift kick once in a while. Say, you know what? You can do better. You need to do better. You need to step it up. In closing this morning, I want to just say a few things. I haven't said much yet, right? Grow in Christ. Whatever our age in the Lord might be, whether you are a day old in the Lord, whether you are 10 years in the Lord, whatever it is, let's seek to live up to our potential. If you're a new Christian, God bless you. Drink up the nourishing milk of the Word of God. Drown yourself in it. It's the food for your very soul. Dive in. Keep adding to your knowledge and growing in your faith and seeking after the Lord through prayer. Be like a baby. Just drink, drink, drink. Get chubby and cute. That's what babies are supposed to do. Get chubby and cute on milk. That's what a baby Christian is supposed to do too. Just drink it up. Because it's our job to make you chubby. Those of us who are the adults. If you're an older Christian who's been fooling around and chilling and kicking back in your lazy boy chair, you need to get with it. You need to get with it. You and I were not put on this planet to sit in lazy boy chairs. Jesus Christ did not save your life for that. And he saved your life. Literally, didn't he? If he hadn't reached into your life when he did, there are a lot of us that very well could be dead right now, and we know it. He saved our life. And he didn't save us to sit in a lazy boy chair. There's no lasting joy in living a life like that. It's an empty life. It's going back to the life that he saved you from. Make your life count. For those of you who are growing in your knowledge of Christ and you're on the field and you're in the game and you're making a contribution, giving your life in service to Christ and His people, I want to encourage you to keep it up. You're doing great! And your Father is really proud of you. He's pleased with you. He's your biggest fan. Go get him, Tiger, is what he wants to say to you today. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, Paul says, "Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we don't give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." Some of you guys here this morning are in desperate need of a kickstart to get your life in Christ going again. And I don't know how to do that for you. But some of the things for you to think about, just a quick list of stuff that came to mind for me. First is, you need to start attending church again regularly. You need to make that a priority in your life again. It used to be. It needs to be again. You know, I'm just being straight up. Some of you guys, you've let all kinds of other things come in and push that out. I just don't get it, man. Just not feeling it anymore. Really? It's because you're never around. You're not worshiping with the body of Christ. You're not getting instruction in the Word. You're not being challenged in the Word. You're not being confronted. You're not having fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Of course you're not feeling it anymore. You're on the fringe rather than in the center where all the life is. Consider getting into a small group Bible study. Get involved in some kind of service project. Go on one of these short-term mission trips like the one in the bulletin that's being announced last week and today. Oh, I don't have time. We have the time for the things we really want to do. We always find the time for those things. Start sharing your faith with others. It's a real motivator for you when you step out there, you let yourself be counted, you let them know what side you're on, and you got to start living it, right? In front of these people, because you came out with it, and they're going, "Oh, really? You're a Christian, huh? I'm going to watch you." And that's okay. They can watch you and me. It's a great motivator for us then, isn't it? All right, I'm being watched now. I better put up. Read a book that will challenge your faith, encourage you, strengthen you. I'm not talking about these junk food Christian books that are so popular all the time that everybody buys. I'm talking about the seriously minded Christian books, the classics. Stuff that's going to take a little work to get through. Some of you go, "Oh, I don't read, man." You read. You probably read more magazines and articles and internet stuff than you realize. You could direct that same reading time to something that's going to row you in here. Start listening to Christian radio again, to the good teachers. There's some garbage on there and some just empty-headed mess. But there's some good ones on there too. Listen to that rather than the talk shows that you have now tuned your dial to that are full of anger and criticism and complaining. Is that all they do? It doesn't matter what political persuasion they are. They seem like they're mad, they're critical, and they're complaining. Not sure if they're offering anything useful. Start listening to some podcasts from good Bible teachers. We live in an age and in a time in history when we of all people that have ever lived have the least excuse, because we have more available to us easier than anyone ever has. Develop a relationship with another brother or sister who can be a mentor to you. Find someone that you can be a mentor for. It's another one of these things that, man, it just really... See, here's the deal. You don't really know something until you have to teach it. When you have to teach someone else, explain it to someone else, that's when you really learn it. And that's when you really know it. I mean, I get up here, as I'm preparing during the week, and I go, okay, well, it says we're justified by faith. And I go, justified? What does justified mean? I mean, I use it all the time. We all throw that word around, but what does that mean, justify? I got to start digging. Well, I got to explain that. I'm not prepared to explain it today, but no, I'm just... So when you are teaching someone else, that's when you really learn it. So it's good for you to teach, to mentor, to sponsor, to come alongside and disciple. Your challenge too is this young one that you are working with. You see their enthusiasm and their faith, and you think, I better step it up, man. Start listening to music that feeds your soul rather than the stuff that feeds your flesh and makes your head empty. I want to encourage you to feed your heart, good stuff, rather than this empty, dark stuff that is being offered to us everywhere else. Don't eat that stuff. Eat the pure word of the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank you for your challenge that's laid out to all of us today. To grow up in Christ. To get out of the loop of just drinking milk and start eating some grown-up stuff. Putting the effort in, using our teeth. Lord, we love you so much, and we're so grateful for the good work that you have done in our life, because you have saved us. You saved our lives, Lord. I pray for every single one of us, myself included, Lord, that we would take up this challenge that we are given in the book of Hebrews this morning. Take it to heart, Lord. Beginning today, we would dedicate ourselves anew to growing in our knowledge of Jesus Christ, our dedication to you, Lord, our love of you, our desire to be with you and with your people. We would make you a priority in our life in a new way, Lord. We ask that you give us the strength and the courage, the tenacity that it's going to be required to do that, Lord. We ask that you give that to us. In Jesus' name, amen.